Okay, morning, everyone. Today's daf is Daf Yud Zayin. We're behind. We're back on Tet Zayin. We're in the top of the Amud. Let's start off our discussion where we started off yesterday, where we ended yesterday, and that's Bapi Tlosa, the Gemara in the very top of the Amud. Kol Milsa Demes Amri Bapi Tlosa Leis Bei Mishum Lishna Bisha, set in front of three people, so there's no longer a Isser of Lashon Hara. So I mentioned yesterday, everyone seems to know the Rambam. The Rambam seems to be the popular position on this matter, because the Rambam says, you know, it's public information, public knowledge. How many times in the course of a conversation have you heard, oh, it's okay, I'll say this over because everyone knows this. It's public information. So is that real? Is that legitimate? So partially. The Rambam is of the opinion that once three people know something, so as the Gemara just explained to us, so, you know, your three people have friends and they have friends and matter's going to become circulated and it's going to get around. And so therefore, everybody knows it. Now, the Rambam says, in no way, shape, or form does that ever permit the person to tell the three people to begin with. Meaning, that's out of the question. That's categorically prohibited to begin to spreading of Lashon Hara. But once it's out there, and once people know, so then to receive, to be makabel that Lashon Hara after everyone knows about it. So the Rambam says that's not going to be an issue of Lashon Hara. That is the Rambam based on our Gemara over here. So there is a certain amount of truth to it, but even then, though, to promulgate and to continue furthering the Lashon Hara just because everybody knows about it, the Rambam says that's not correct. And so even the Rambam himself certainly takes a more lenient position based on this Gemara over here, but even that is limited. Tosfos, however, this is not as popular. Tosfos, however, says, no, that's not what the Gemara means here at all. Meaning the Gemara does not mean that just because it's out there, it's no longer Lashon Hara. But Tosfos says like this. Remember we discussed yesterday, what is Lashon Hara, right? That was the Gemara's basic question yesterday. And so the answer is basically tone. Lashon Hara is all about tone. Meaning if you're just giving out information and it's just very factual and there's no, you know, and you have nothing bad to say, it's just factual information, that's fine. Somebody comes over to you and says to you, where can I get fire? So you point down the street, and you say, oh, there's fire over there. Okay, that's perfect. That's not Lashon Hara. That's just giving out information. When it becomes Lashon Hara is that when you inject tone into the discussion, meaning somebody says to you, where can I find fire? He says, oh, you know, the fressers down the street. You know, they love eating. They're grilling all the time. The fressers, you'll find fire over there. At that point in time, now that's Lashon Hara. Okay, and that is, and needless to say, in other words, if you have something candidly bad to say about somebody, that for sure is Lashon Hara. That's not even in the discussion, meaning that's categorically Lashon Hara. But even if it's something ambiguous and you just give it a little bit of a zing, a little bit of tone, so that's Lashon Hara. So, I'll discuss that a little bit later on. It's a fair question. Just give me a second. Tosfos says over here, you know what the Argamara means when it says Kol Milsa Dimit Amra Ba'api Tlosa, that if you say in front of three people, it means like this, says Tosfos. Now, you want to find Tosfos, and you're not going to find it in this Amud, you're going to find it in the previous Amud. So Tosfos writes, Perish. It's the second to last Tosfos on the previous Amud. Perish. Kev kagon ki agavna denur be ploni, de ikla mishma delo amra misham lishna bisha, Aval im haya amar davar kane Torah chavera afilo haya omro befanav is be mishum l'shabisha. Says Tosfos. If you're saying something ambiguous, meaning it could be that you meant it good, it could be that you meant it bad. It's ambiguous. And it could be, you know, sometimes it's hard to read people. I have that issue, right? Sometimes it's hard to read me. But you're not 100% sure what the person meant by that. It was a statement of ambiguity. Tosfos says, then it matters whether you say it in front of three or whether you say it not in front of three. Meaning, if you say it in front of three people, you know it's going to go back to him. Right? It's absolutely going to go back to him. Why? Because the Gemara says, chaver de chaver islay, because everyone has a friend. So if you're saying something ambiguous and you know the statement's going to go back to the person you're talking about, you're not going to offend him. Again, if you absolutely offend him, so then there's nothing to talk about. We're only discussing a statement of ambiguity. Could have gone either way. Could have been interpreted in one of two ways. So if you say it in front of three people, not Lashon Hara. But if you don't say it in front of three people, meaning you say it privately to one person or to two people, and it was ambiguous, that's probably Lashon Hara. Meaning, right, correct, Avak Lashon Hara. Meaning you didn't say something absolutely bad about somebody, but you said something which is a little bit, you know, a little bit on the edge, and you didn't say in front of three people, that is going to be an issue of Lashon Hara. That's how Tosfos understands the Gemara. So from Tosfos' perspective, there's no such thing as, oh, it's public information, therefore it's okay. That's not what the Gemara meant here at all. Well, the only thing the Gemara meant over here is, when you say something which is not absolutely bad, but not absolutely good, somewhere in the middle, how is it to be interpreted? That Tosfos says, that's where it makes a difference whether you say it in front of three people. Okay. So basic machlokas in terms of how to understand this Gemara of Ape Tlasa. Okay, we go on in the Gemara. We're on Tetzayin Amad Aleph. We're starting for now from the top of the Amad. We're four lines down. Ki Asar Avdimi Amar Mai Dechsiv Mevarech Re'eu Bekol Gadol Baboker Hashkem Klala Techashev LaPosik Mishle says, you praise your friend Bekol Gadol, like in a very loud voice. Loud voice meaning in front of a lot of people. So it's not good, right? Even though you think you're extolling the praises of somebody, the Pasuk and Mishle, this is not, don't even need to get to the Gemara yet, meaning it's just simple pshat in the Pasuk and Mishle, it's klala techashev lo, that's a klala. And the Gemara says, you want to understand this a little bit better, kagon. I'll give you an example, says the Gemara. The mikla lushpiz of a tarchu kameshaper. You go to somebody's house, and they take unbelievable care of you. They're great. And then lamacher nafik yasub b'shuka, and the next day you go out to the marketplace, and you're sitting in the market, and there's a lot of it, and you have a nice audience around you. He says, oh my gosh, you know, so-and-so that I was by last night, he was unbelievable, took unbelievable care of me. He did the following in front of me. He really put effort in. V'shamin inchi, v'azlin v'ansele. Now, you told a whole big audience. Now, what are they going to do? Oh, really? Really? It's also, and on top of that, it's also Ayin Hara as well. But they're going to go over, they're going to be Ma'anes. Now, Ma'anes, by the way, that's a strong language. What does that mean, Ma'anes? Ma'anes means usually forcing. What are they going to force? Rashi, Allah meshihu asher va'azle va'anse le lemamone. Rashi's first pshat is, yeah, they're going to force money out of this guy. I mean, like, you really, according to the first pshat in Rashi, you like put the guy in real jeopardy. Right, Rashi's second pshat, which I think is just a little more subtler, Rashi says, you know, you're going to stop by him, you're going to visit by him. In other words, then he's such a giving soul, he's such a giving individual, he's just going to keep giving until he loses everything. Don't compliment. Okay, it sounds absolute. And it's hard to imagine that it's just we're going to speak in such absolute terms about not complimenting, but the Gemara says, don't compliment. Now, because what's going to happen is that you're going to start complimenting, but as long as we're on the subject, as long as we're talking about the person, you know, but, you know, and there's always a but, because we're all human and, you know, nobody's perfect. The Gemara tells a story in a slightly different format. The Rav Dimi, the brother of Rav Safra, was sick. Our Rav Safra lishailua bay, and Rav Safra goes and pays him a little visit. Amalu taisili dekaimi called Amar Rabbanan. He says taisili, meaning hard to put this in English. I have good things coming to me. Good things are coming to me because not only do I fulfill the mitzvahs of the Torah, I listen to the Chachamim as well. How about this one from the Chachamim? You're not allowed to compliment. Did you know about that? So he says, honestly, I never heard that one. But if I would have known that one, I would have been mekayim that as well. A couple of interesting things. Number one, he never heard of that. Okay, that's in of itself interesting. Number two, what you get from this is that this prohibition is obviously an issa derabbanan. Obviously. Meaning that the Issa D'Oraisa is not to absolutely speak bad about somebody. Right? That's the Issa D'Oraisa. Here, not to compliment somebody. The Torah never says not to compliment somebody. But the Chachamim understand human nature. And the Chachamim said, you know, if you start complimenting, next step along the way is that you're going to start also maligning him as well. So it's an Issa D'Rabbanan. What we call Avak Lashon Hara.
When do you do that? A eulogy?
No. What do you mean eulogy? We do this all the time. We end up doing this all the time. Okay, let's go on in the Gemara.
What about Juna dinners?
Huh?
Juna dinners.
What?
Juna dinners.
Juna.
Juna dinner that they do.
Oh, the journal dinners. Yeah. Yeah. So maybe Rashi will be helpful over here, because Rashi writes the following. Now, as I mentioned, the Gemara sounds like it's speaking in absolute terms, like la'olam, like don't do it, don't compliment people. But if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi does...
excessively.
Right. Rashi doesn't make it as sharp as the Gemara sounds. I'm reading Rashi, Barli de Raso, Shikishu misape tovaso yosir midai. If you compliment someone effusively, who atzmo omer chutz mimida razu, and then all of a sudden, like you start to hear, like, I understand he's good, but come on already. He's that good? And you know, and then you have to, and you always have to give the counterbalance. Right? Omer chutz mimida razu, shebo o achem shomim sheze meshabcho v'omem halo midas kach, v'kach biyado. Or the audience who hears you, and he start praising him again and again, and he's like, oh, come on, really him? And then you start to, in other words, and it's such human nature. You don't, please, he's not that good. Now let me share with you a couple of things that perhaps you did not know about him. Back to the Gemara. I'm Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani, I'm Rav Yochanan, Shiva Dvarim Negayim Bayim. Okay? Everyone understands, everyone knows that he gets the Ras because he speaks Lashon Hara. What people do not know, I find this not to be popular information, is that that's not the only thing that brings about Saras. Meaning, first of all, the Torah never actually puts Saras together with Lashon Hara. The place that is most outstanding is by Miriam. Miriam is the one that's most outstanding, right? That she spoke Lashon Hara and she got Saras. But quite frankly, the Torah never says, you will get Saras because you spoke Lashon Hara. And Saras is it's not an illness, it's not a disease, but it's something that has more than one catalyst. The Gemara is going to point to seven things that will lead to tzaras, and they are: number one, lashon hara; number two, shvichas damim, murder. It's interesting. If you're a murderer, like tzaras is like one of the things that you have to worry about least. But
if you embarrass somebody,
it could be very good, right there. But they could be murder over here. Doesn't mean murder literally, but sounds from the simple pshat in the Gemara. Shvichas damim, it's murder. Ashvur shav, making oaths that are false or just simply no point. Gilu arayus, gusas aruch is arrogance. Gezel, stealing, and saras ayin, being stingy. And finally, number seven is that's it. Saras ayin, that's it. Okay, seven things that will bring about saras. And the Gemara goes through all seven, meaning that the Gemara will find ramazim, hints and allusions throughout the Torah and Navi, where we find this connection between any one of these seven and Saras. Number one, Allah Shana Dikhsiv, Mal Shanei B'Seser Re'ehu Oso Atzmis. Right, interesting. Gemara doesn't go to Miriam. Right? It's interesting. But rather, Gemara goes to a Pasuk in Tehillim. The Pasuk says that if you speak privately about somebody else, Oso Atzmis, that will cut him off. And as we already discussed yesterday, the word Atzmis is connected with Saras. Remember the connection? Tzmisus in the Torah, the Targum of Tzmisus is Chalutin, and the Mishnah in Megillah says, what's the difference between a Mitzorah Muzgar and a Mitzorah Mukhlat? Two. Ashichas Amin Dichtiv, Ayach Reis Mi Beis Yoav, Zav U Mitzorah. Yoav. Nobody should leave the house of Yoav without being either a Zav or a Mitzorah. Yoav ends up killing
Avner.
Right. Yoav ends up killing Avner
real killing. In this case,
I'm with you. No, the simple pshat in the Gemara we're talking about real shvichas damim. Now, again, in other words, we have a whole judicial system, and we have corporal punishment. It's a capital crime, shvichas damim. Apparently, what the Gemara here is dealing with is scenarios where, for whatever reason, he didn't receive the corporal punishment.
Or maybe he's sitting in a court case, and all of a sudden he gets arrested. Oh, I know.
I don't think so, but it's fine. Okay. Al Shavu Shav Dichsiv Ayomina Aman Ho Vikach Bikarim. I'm sorry, Kikarim. Uksivit Saras Naaman Tidabach. Okay, Shavu Shav, the Gemara uses Naaman as an example. The Al Gilu Arais Dichsiv Aynaga Hashem as Paro Negayim. Paro was afflicted with Negayim after he made an attempt at Sarah. So that's Gilu Arais. In this case, attempted Gilu Arais, but Al Gasos HaRuach, being arrogant, Dichsiv, who says regarding Uziyahu, uvechezkaso gava libo ad lahashchis vayimol b'Hashem elokav v'atzara zarcha b'mitzcho. So arrogance, which is interesting because it's not an act, it's a midah. But we find this every now and then, that sometimes the Torah talks about midos, I'm sorry, the Gemara speaks about midos as much as it would speak about an action itself. And ala gezel d'chsiv v'tziva akorim finuas abayis. So gezel as well, tzaras comes, because what happens is that if you have a house which is inflicted with tzaras, so the first thing the Kohen does is he takes everything out of the house. Okay, garage sale. Not exactly, but you understand. Right, all your possessions now are out of your house. Tana, who kones mamon shena shalo, yavo hakoin v'yafazer mamono. And the idea is so simple. This person took belongings that didn't belong to him, and so therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? Ufinu es habayis. Out of the house. Ve'altzor sayin dechsiv avasha lo habayis. V'tana debe rev yishmal, mish miyuchad beso lo. The pasuk says, uva asher lo habayis. It's his house. What does that mean, his house? Of course it's his house. No, that's an attitude. Meaning the way he always talks about it, it's my house and my possessions. And, you know, I live in a house with a lot of children. I hear that very often. You know, the possessive nature. But that's, you know, that's when you're young. As you get older, you got to be less possessive. And so the Gemara says, Saras comes for Sarasayan. Ini. Okay. So far, so good. The Gemara now has given for us Ramazim Psukim that indicate that for any one of these seven actions / midos, so he has tzaras to look forward to. The Gemara says, V'ha amarav anani bar sason. I don't know who he is, but he sounds Sephardic. So, V'ha amarav anani bar sason, lama nismecha parsha big de kahuna, la parsha's karbanos. How come the big de kahuna is right next to the parsha of karbanos amalcham, ma karbanos mechaprim, ma big de kahuna mechaprim? So you should know, in the end of Parsha Tetzaveh, you'll find all about the Karbanos in the same Parsha with the Kahuna, just like a carbon's Mechaper, Big Day Kahuna, or also Mechaper. One of the more interesting ideas that comes up in Shas, we see it a couple of times here, this is one of the primary spots in Shas that we talk about it, is that the Kohen, by merely wearing his Begadim, provide a certain amount of Kapara, of atonement for the Jewish people. Okay, and the Gemara is going to be extraordinarily specific. Right? How many begadim do the Kohen Gadol? We're talking now about the Kohen Gadol. He wears 8 begadim. So the Gemara is going to say that each beged is going to achieve a certain amount of kapara. Number one, ketonis mechaper sashvichos damim dechsi vayit bulu as a ketonis bedam. So the ketonis, the tunic that's worn by the Kohen, so that is for shvichos damim. Why? Yosef. Yosef's coat was dipped in blood. Okay, michnasai mechaper magil arayz dechsiv vaseh lahem michnasai bad lechasos b'sar erva. The pants which cover the erva are mechaper on gilu arayz. 3, mitznefes mechaper sal gaseh haruach. So the mitznefes, that's for arrogance. Kid Rabbi Chanin, dam Rabbi Chanin, yavo yad adavar she begova vichaper amase gova. The mitznefes, the hat that's worn on the top, so that is mechaper on arrogance, which is the person who is arrogant thinks he's above. Number four. Avnet, mechapers al hear her halev. So the avnet, which is the belt, is mechaper on the hear her halev. Ahecha di isai, because look where the belt is worn. Okay, now, right. talking about current haberdashery, we wear our belts below our waist. Apparently, back in the good old days, they used to wear their belts a little bit higher, right around their heart.
Alan puts his gatlo right
here. Okay.
Ask him once. He
yeah, good. The Gemara says that's exactly where the belt of the Kohen Gadol was worn. So, and that's why the belt is mechaper on hirur halev, thoughts of the heart. Okay. Skip parentheses number 5. Choshen mechaper al hadinim. The choshen is mechaper on dinim. Makes perfect sense. What's the section of Shulchan Aruch dedicated to dinim? Choshen mishpat. Okay. Now, of course, that's the Gemara is not working from that perspective, because Choshen Mishpat was authored by Rav Yosef Cairo about 1,000 years after the Gemara was finally edited. So that's not what the Gemara means by that, but simply what the Gemara means is that the Choshen is connected to Dinim, Dichsiv Asisa Choshen Mishpat, because that's in fact what it's called, the Choshen Mishpat. Okay, and obviously, by the way, Rav Yosef Cairo, when writing his halachas of Dinim, obviously uses this as platform in terms of why I will call it Choshe Mishpat. Number six, Eifod Mechaper Al Avodah Zarah, the Eifod. Okay, no better way to describe it than an apron, but you understand, it's the Kohen Gadol. It's not, you know, but it's like an apron. So, Dichsiv Ein Eifod Utrafim. Okay, the Pasuk connects Eifod to Trafim, the Avodah Zarah. Me'il. Now, Me'il is another type of tunic that was worn by the Kohen Gadol, wasn't worn by Kohen Hedjot. And Mechaper Lashon Hara, that provides a kapar for Lashon Hara, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yavodav Shebekol, Vechaper Amasa HaKol. Everyone knows what's unusual about the Me'il is that on the bottom of the Me'il they had little bells, so that you were able to hear when the Kohen Gadol was coming in or going out. Okay? And so it produced the sound, and that's Mechaper on the production of sound, otherwise known as Lashon Hara. Tzitz Mechaper Amasa Azepanim, and finally the tzitz, the head plate, that was worn by the Kohen Gadol. That is mechaper for arrogance. K'siv hachav ayam meitzach aron, u'k'siv hasam u'meitzach isha zonah haya lach. Pasuk in Yirmiyahu describing the woman of zonah having the meitzach, the large forehead. Okay. And so, essentially, what the Gemara wants to know is, where do we go with Lashon Hara? Meaning, a person speaks Lashon Hara. Okay. So, he gets a ras. What about the begadim of the Kohen Gadol? Aren't they going to be mechaper? Meaning, it seems to be that we have numerous things addressing Lashon Hara, so which one's which? So, lo kashu, hada hanu masav, hada lo hanu masav. So, the Gemara says the difference is as follows. If it's a hanu masav, now what does that mean? A hanu masav. Rashi writes, a hanu masav, shiniskotutu al yado. Meaning, look, sometimes, and it's hard to say when exactly it's going to happen, but sometimes Lashon Hara like leads to real fight, right? Creates a real fight, right? In other words, when you speak Lashon Hara, or if you're a Rochel, which means basically that you're going to pass Lashon Hara along, right? And you pass it around. So eventually what's going to happen is that the person who's going to hear it is going to get offended, especially if that person was the one who was spoken about, and it'll lead to fighting. So if it's a hanu masav, Rashi says, I'm sorry, not Rashi, let's go back to the Gemara. So in other words, if it was, and don't misquote me, if it was productive Lashon Hara, meaning it was the type of Lashon Hara where it actually resulted in a real fight, so then saras, meaning that it's not Kohen Gadol wearing his clothing, that's not going to be enough. Meaning there, you need saras. So Eloah Anamasav Meil Mechaper. And if it's loa, if it was not productive avodah zarah, lashon hara, which again, don't misquote me, means that you spoke lashon hara, but nothing came out of it, right? And still just as usher, but nothing came out of it. So then you have the me'il, which provides a kapara. So the Gemara says, well, we do find the following, that for two things, there's no carbon, but there's big de kahuna. Number one is shvichas damen, number two is lashon hara. So shvichas damen be'aglah rufa, v'lashon hara be'kitaras. And here's what we find, that for shvichas damen, there's no actual carbon that's mechaper, but there's aglah rufa. For lashon hara, there's no actual carbon, but there's the kitaras. D'tanya Rabbi Chanina, l'man l'kitaras she'mechaper, z'chziv, v'yitenes kitaras v'yichaper ala'am. We find that kitaras is mechaper. That would be in Parshas Korach. V'tanya debei Rabbi Shmuel, l'man kitaras mechaper, z'al lashon hara. Amar kadosh baruch hu, yavo davar she'bechashai, right, something which was quiet, v'chaper ama'ase chashai. And it'll provide an atonement for something which was done quietly. Meaning, Lashon Hara, how do you know people are speaking Lashon Hara? The voices start going down, right? And they start whispering. And that's a good sign that's now, you're watching Lashon Hara being, now, of course, you have to be down lekaf tzchus, right? You have to, of course, you don't assume they're speaking Lashon Hara, but, right. So kashya shvichas damim ashvichas damim kashya lashon hara alashon hara. So the Gemara says again, just a little bit of confusion over here because I don't understand. Didn't you say the begadim of the kohen provide a kapara for these two actions? And meanwhile, now we're looking at the Egla Rufa, and we're looking at the Ketores. Like, what? Which one is it? So the Gemara says, "Shvichas adam, shvichas adam lokasha had yada mankatle, had lo yada mankatle." Look, if you know who the killer is, so then you have the begadim of the kohen, which is mechaper. Now, by the way, if you know who the killer is, right? Let's think about this for just a moment. If you know who the killer is, what do I need the begadim?
Because you don't have edim.
Okay, so it could be, right? It could very well be that we don't have edim and we can't bring him to justice. Also, I'd like to suggest, okay, and maybe I'm right, maybe I'm not, it's fine. But I'd like to suggest also that in general, the Jewish people need a kapara. Meaning that when murder takes place, it is not just the murderer and the murderer who are being affected, but the entire society is affected at large, right? A corrupt society is also needs a form of kapara. So it could be that the Big Day Kohen, now this is the begadim of the Kohen Gadol, who is representative of the entire Jewish people, so it could be that the kapara that's being provided is not just for the murderer, but for the masses at large. Meaning, to a certain degree, anytime murder takes place, you know, we're all to a certain degree, you know, not guilty, but we're complicit.
Right. So we've had no kapara since the destruction of the second.
Not this type of kapara. That would be correct. But I mean, we also haven't had kapara since the destruction of the temple as well. So we haven't had that form of kapara as well.
At the end of our roof, we say you're
dead. Right. Correct. There's some sort of communal. Liability, if you will. Okay, so so that could be what the Gemara here is referencing. And if we don't know who the murderer is, so then of course we go to the process of Egla Rufa. Okay, and the Lokash Loshna. I'm sorry. Shvish Lokahad Yada Kaman Kala Deloya Man Katle Diada Man Katle Bar Katalahu. So Bemeziv Lo Asra Bay. So the Gemara says, yeah, but he didn't receive Asra. It was, you know, there was no warning, etc., etc. Lashon Hara Lokasha. Habitsina, habifarhesia. Now, as far as Lashon Hara is concerned, so if it was done quietly, ketores, right? How do I know that? Because the Gemara said. Because the ketores is chashai. The ketores is quiet. Meaning there is no fanfare, it's just the burning of the ketores. It's done quietly, as is Lashon Hara, which is spoken privately. If it's Lashon Hara bifarhesia, if it's public Lashon Hara, so now you need the me'il, and you need the bells. The bells are the ones which provide the kapara. Okay. By mine Rabbi Shmuel bar Nadav mi Rabbi Chanina v'amrila Rabbi Shmuel bar Nadav chasneid Rabbi Chanina m'Rabbi Chanina v'amrila m'Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi manishtana mitzora shamar Torah badad yeshiv mechutz l'machaneh moshavo. We know that when a person does finally get saras, so part of his process is that he has to sit outside the camp. By himself. So, who ifdil ben ish lishto ben ish lareehu leficha chamar Torah badad yeshev. So the Gemara understands mida kenegen mida, measure for measure. You created a rift between husband and wife, between two neighbors. So now you sit by yourself. A little bit of time out, if you will, for the person who spoke lashon hara, a taste of his own medicine. Amar Rav Yehuda ben Levi manishana mitzora she'amar Torah yavo shteitzi parim latara. So, very, very strange procedure that's done at the beginning of the Tahara process in the Mitzorah. Two birds are taken. One bird is shechted, the other one goes free. Okay, the Gemara is going to infuse meaning into this procedure. Now, even before the Gemara does, the Torah says to do it. Obviously, it's a mitzvah. But the Gemara over here adds meaning and understanding. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Ose Masa Patit Leficach Amru Torah Yarvi Karban Patit. He did an act which was blabbering, right? And anyone who's been in New York and just, you know, been around pigeons, you know, or anyone who owns a bird, right? Don't recommend it, but, right? All they do is just chirp, chirp, chirp all day. And so it reminds the person, that's basically you. You're the chirper. Okay? Adkan, the Gemara on Lashon Hara. So we start the whole sugya started on Tesvav Amud Beis, on the top of Tesvav Amud Beis, and continued to this very point in time. And this is the end of the Gemara that speaks out the Isser of Lashon Hara. Just a quick recap. First of all, how much halacha was actually discussed in this course of the Gemara? So I told you already. right? 4 or 5 lines of Gemara dedicated to the actual halachas of Lashon Hara. First of all, I should have said this in the beginning, I know, but let me just quickly recap. When we say Lashon Hara, right, what do we mean by that? So one of the things that's often misquoted is that Lashon Hara are lies, just not true, meaning Lashon Hara is true. Okay, speaking Lashon Hara means that you're actually making statements about people which are correct and factual, but you're doing so for the purposes of maligning the individual. So that's first and foremost. Lashon Hara is a statement made which is true. In fact, by Miriam, when she spoke about Moshe, she said nothing false about Moshe. Everything she said about Moshe was absolutely true and correct. And in fact, it's interesting, I'm not the first person to make this observation, she wasn't even looking to malign Moshe, meaning she was just curious in terms of, you know, I don't understand Moshe and his wife's relationship. It doesn't make sense to me because we're also Nevi'im, and she, you know, she was feeling bad for Moshe's wife. It wasn't even that she was looking to really put down Moshe, but still, in other words, Lashon Hara is true. What's lies? That's called Motzi Shemra. Motzi Shemra is when you lie about somebody. So that's not Lashon Hara, that's Motzi Shemra. Again, they're both asur. They're both just as prohibited, but just to be familiar with the terms. Rechilus, what's that? So that's the peddler, right? Lo selech rachil ba'amecha. That means that, right, somebody spoke about somebody else, you heard the conversation, you passed the conversation along, right, to somebody else. The Rashi says on Chumash that a rachil is like a rochel, like someone who peddles. Right, who brings information from point A to point B. So you're not the one who actually spoke the Lashon Hara, but you're more than happy to report the Lashon Hara to somebody else. So those are your three basic categories: Lashon Hara, Rechilus, and Motzi Shemra. Okay. The Gemara now, from here until the end of the Perek, going to take on a very interesting topic: Tochacha. Okay. Yes. Correct. The Gemara here makes no discussion whatsoever about when it would be acceptable and okay to speak Lashon Hara. So again, that's one of the beauties of the Sefer Chafetz Chaim. I highly recommend it. In other words, he goes through numerous scenarios and conditions. He goes through a number of conditions. I think 6 altogether? 7? Nice. 7 conditions and when it would be okay to speak Lashon Hara about somebody else. See the Chafetz Chaim inside for details. I can't, off the top of my head, I couldn't list all 7. The basic point is that there has to be toelis, there has to be some purpose in terms of why you're saying it. Right? If you're saying it simply because it's enjoyable, you're back in the world of Lashon Hara. There's got to be a specific purpose. But even then, the Chafetz Chaim tacks on a whole bunch of other qualifications in terms of when it would be okay. One of them I remember off the top of my head is that you got to go to the person himself. And you got to approach the person himself and say, you know, right, X, Y, and Z. And if he's not buying it, so then you could tell the person who is about to be affected.
It's a form of
tochacha. Okay, okay. Okay, good.
Also, I think by a
shirach, right,
you're allowed.
Again, right, it's all depends on, you got to see the Chafetz Chaim inside. All depends on whether or not you're going to satisfy the conditions as laid out in the Chafetz Chaim. Okay, but it is interesting, though. It's a fair point. The Gemara doesn't open that door in terms of when it would be okay. Okay, tochacha. Okay, next topic of discussion, finishing up today's, not yesterday's daf, and then moving to today's daf. Okay, there is a mitzvah in the Torah of rebuking your fellow Jew. You see your fellow Jew doing something wrong, and you go over to him, and you got to be warm, and you got to mean it. And the Gemara is going to point out in just a moment, that's one of the challenges of tochacha, is that usually when a person gives tochacha, it's not heartfelt, he doesn't do it with the proper midos, and it ends up being, you know, divisive. But if done properly, tochacha basically means now I go over to my friend and I rebuke him and I say, you know, you shouldn't be doing that, whatever you're doing wrong, and you try to correct your friend. And this is the mitzvah of tochacha. The pasuk says immediately in that very same pasuk, right? Don't hate your friend. I'm just quoting the pasuk, Parshas Kedoshim, and losisa alav chet, and don't bear a sin. What does that mean? Don't bear a sin. The simple pshat, we'll see this over the course of this morning, is that even when you rebuke, you can't embarrass the individual. Meaning you got to be extraordinarily careful that whenever you want to try to correct somebody, doing so in a way which will embarrass him, right? Malbin is pnei chaver barabim, or you publicly embarrass him. So the Gemara elsewhere says that's like shvichas damim. That's like murdering a person. So you have to be extraordinarily careful that if you are in fact about to give tochacha to somebody, not only do you have to be warm and heartfelt about it, but you have to be careful about, is anyone else around? Is anyone else listening? Meaning you got to do it in a way which is private and just between the two of you. Before we also start with the Gemara, just one other point. The Rambam says it's very good, such a great insight. Right? The Rambam, the pasuk starts off with, Losista sachicha b'alvavecha, don't hate your friend, right? Don't hate your brother, right? And then hochech tochech esamisech and rebuke him. What do the two have to do with one another? He says that usually, the Rambam writes this, usually, what is sinna a result of? Because you're harboring something against somebody. So he says, in other words, if you want to get rid of sinna, so you know what you do, it's very simple. Just air it out. Meaning, you did this wrong, and you did that wrong, and you air it out, and it removes a lot of the sinna. Again, all this is, you know, has to be done correctly and properly, but the Rambam connects the beginning of the pasuk with the next part of the pasuk. Tanu Rabbanan, we start with the Gemara, we're on to Zayin Amud Beis, about 10 lines from the top of the Amud. Lo sisna sachilcha bevavecha, yachol lo yakenu lo yisterenu, velo yikal kalenu. So, you might have thought, shouldn't hit him, shouldn't slap him, shouldn't curse him, right? We have the word yikal kalenu. On the side of the Gemara, it's yikal kalenu. Tamalam bevavecha. Sinna shebaleva kasa medaber. So, the Torah speaks about sinna shebaleva, meaning, even hatred in your heart, you should avoid. Meaning, unfortunately, we're guilty. Meaning, we end up not saying anything, or not physically abusing somebody, but we hold things against people. And the Gemara here says, no, that's also not correct. Now you see your friend doing something incorrect. So you have to give him tochacha, you have to reprimand, you have to rebuke. Shenamar, hochich tochich, hochich v'lo kibel menayin shachsov yochichenu. Now what if you give tochacha and it just doesn't take? Okay, go back, do it again. How do I know that? Tamalama tochich mikol makom. Torah says, hochich tochich, the double lashon. Meaning give him rebuke, and if it doesn't take, go back and give it to him again. Yachol afilu mishtanim panav. What about to the point where you embarrass him? The Gemara says, stop right there. Tamalamar, lo sisa lav chet. Nope, you can't do that. Meaning embarrassing somebody by rebuking him, I guess the Gemara means now in public, so that's not rebuke anymore, and that is malbim p'nei chaver barabim, that's publicly embarrassing somebody, and that is just flat out wrong. Tanya Amar Rabbi Tarfon, Tama Ani, Im Yesh B'dor Zesh Mekabel Tochacha. He says, in my generation, Rabbi Tarfon, right, same generation as Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and, you know, the group of Tanaim that were in Bnei Brak. So he says, in this generation, I don't think there's anyone who could really receive tochacha. Im amar lo tol kisim mi bein enecha, amar lo tol korim mi bein enecha. Right? I say to you, you know, you have like a little splinter right between your eyes. You want to get rid of that. And he looks back at me and he says, you know, you have a beam right between your eyes. Why don't you take care of that? Okay, so Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah tamani imish bedor hazesh yodea lehochiach. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, I don't think in this generation people know how to give tochacha. Va'amar Rav Yochanan ben Nuri meid ani alai shamayim v'aretz shehir be'parmim laka akiva al yadi. Very interesting. Gemara. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri says, you know, Rabbi Akiva, he was hit by me. Shayisi kobel alav l'fnei Ramban. Now we have in the Gemara Rabbi Shimon. Perhaps there should be Rabbi Gamliel. And many times I complained to Rabbi Gamliel about Rabbi Akiva. Okay, I'd love to have been a fly on the wall, meaning what was the conversation going on over there? What did Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri say about Rabbi Akiva? So obviously the Gemara's not going to tell us. We just finished the daf of Lashon Hara. So I don't know. I don't know what the issue was, but nevertheless, though, Shosafti Bo Ava. But meanwhile, the more I rebuked him, the more he loved me. right? Shenamar al tocheach leitz pen yisnaecha hocheach lechacham ve'yavcha. So the pasuk says, pasuk in Mishlei, that if somebody's a leitz, if he's a joker, and you give him tochacha, he's just going to hate you. Meaning, because obviously he will not understand that you're trying to improve and correct him. He's just going to understand that he's making fun of me and he's putting me down. So he's just going to hate you. But you have a chacham and you rebuke the chacham. So, oh, okay, good. Yeah, right. I need a little bit of correction. Good. And he'll interpret it and he'll understand. Oh, he cares about me. Okay. And obviously, I'm interested in correcting myself. The Gemara pits two interesting concepts against one another. Let's say it's tochacha l'shma, but it's anava shelo l'shma. Right? Tochacha l'shma, meaning you're rebuking the person because you feel like that's the right thing to do. The anava shelo l'shma, Rashi, she'osa atzmo ana she'eno rotza lahochicho, v'ota anava shelo l'shem shemayim hu ela shelo yisne'enu. Meaning, I don't want to rebuke him. I mean, who am I to rebuke him? And meanwhile, the only reason why you don't want to rebuke him is simply because you don't want him to hate you. So, Amalei v'la modis da'anav l'shma adiva da'amamar, anav gadol mikulam. So, what do you mean? Anivus? Anivus is the best. Meaning, being an anav, being a humble individual, is by far and away the best midah. Shelo l'shma nami adifa. And what do you want to tell me? Well, he's not really being humble because he wants to be humble. He's just being humble shelo l'shma, meaning he just doesn't want you to hate him. So the Gemara says, in terms of the shelo l'shma motivation, don't worry about that. The Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav La'olam Yasu Gadam B'Torah V'Mitzvah Safapi shelo l'shma Shemitoch shelo l'shma Ba l'shma. Because don't worry about that. Shelo l'shma turns into l'shma, meaning I'm learning Torah right now shelo l'shma, meaning not for the right reasons, for ulterior motives, right? For kavod, for whatever the case is, right? We're going to have a siyum, all right? In other words, right? Okay, good. Another one. That's a good reason, though. I'm saying, but in other words, but for kavod, right? You're learning Torah for kavod. So that's not the right reason. That's an ulterior motive. Don't worry. Shelo l'shma ba l'shma. So this person's being humble, not for the right reasons. Don't worry about that. Shelo l'shma ba l'shma. Hey, chidami tochach l'shma v'anav v'shelo l'shma ki had rav huna v'chia barav ha'v'yatz v'kame de Shmuel. Gemara tells the story of two Amoraim who were in front of Shmuel. Amar l'chia barav chazi mar de kame tzareli. Okay, so he took it upon himself that he's no longer going to bother his friend. So after he left, he says, "You did this, you did this." So he says, "So I understand, we were right there. So how come you didn't do this in front of Shmuel?" He's a descendant of Rav. I didn't want to embarrass him. I'm sorry, Al Yadai. Okay, so in other words, right, not to publicly embarrass somebody. That's an attribute. Ad heichan tochacha. Now we've said already that when you rebuke, you're rebuking. You got to go back and rebuke him again, right? As many times as necessary. When do you stop? Meaning, at what point do you say to yourself, like, this is not getting anywhere? Okay. Rav Amar ad haka'a. Rav says when he hits you. Okay. At that point in time now. You take the message, okay? He doesn't want to hear from me. I got it. Shmuel Amar ad klal Shmuel says he's got to curse you, and Rabbi Yochanan Amar ad nizifa until he
scorns.
Right? It's another way of saying cursing, but like he puts you in his cherem. Like he's not, you're on his blacklist. Okay, kit tanai. Now the Gemara says it's a machlokus amarayim. It's also machlokus tanayim. Rabbi Lazar Amar Dakar, Rabbi Yeshua Amar Klala Benazir Amar Nezifa. Okay, three way machlokes amongst the Tanaim. Amar Rav Nachman Yisro Kushosha Mikraya Chadarshu. Now, where do we see this? Meaning, where does this machlokes stem from? So the Gemara says, story of Yehonasan and his father. Father Shaul set out to get David, and Yehonasan turns to his father and says to his father, you know, and he starts giving tochacha to his father. Now, interesting topic in of itself, meaning, can you do that? Can you give tochacha to your own father? Right? How does that work with the mitzvah of kibud av? Okay. Interesting topic. Certainly worthy of a discussion. We'll just right now, I just want to get through the Gemara. But you're right, the Chabura, anyone wants to give that. V'yichar af shal b'yonasan. V'yamalo ben na'os hamardus. Uksiv v'yitol shal esachanis alav lahakoso. And so what does Shaul do? He throws a spear at Yehonasan. Okay? So Ulaman damar akadichsiv lahakoso. Meaning, now he didn't hit Yehonasan, but he was aiming. Right? He was close. So that's ad hakal. Laman da'amar klala dichsev lebishtecho leboshes ervas imecha. He cursed his son. Well, laman da'amar neziv ha'dichsev ha'ichar af Shaul. He got angry at Shaul. He censored Shaul. Well, laman da'amar neziv ha'aksev ha'kav klala shani hasam da'agav chalivusi yeseru da'ava be'li yonasan b'david masa nafshe tfei. And as far as, what are the opinions of Nezifa going to do with the fact that that Shaul tried to hit Yonasan, Shaul actually cursed Yonasan. So the Gemara says, yeah, but don't learn anything. Don't learn from those points, because remember, Dov and Yonasan were best of friends. And so there, Shaul had to go above and beyond what you normally have to do in order to, he went above the threshold of Tochacha. Meaning the threshold of Tochacha could just be Nezifa, but Shaul realized, I got to go further than that because Yonasan really likes David. Okay. Ad heichan lo yishana adam ba'achsanya shalom. Okay. The next part of the Gemara's discussion is great. Oh, so it's so enjoyable. Okay. How many times have you heard a conversation go something like this? I'm not going on that airline anymore. This is what happened when I was on that airline. And so therefore, that airline to me is blacklisted. I'm not going to that hotel anymore because here's what happened to me. And the Gemara says, and it's interesting, you shouldn't do that. Meaning the Gemara says, if you, maybe an airlines is not the best example, but it's not. Right, you're staying by a certain inn, you're staying by somebody's house, and, you know, they opened up their house to you, and really, you should stay with it. You should stick with it. You shouldn't change houses. So, and at what point precisely is it okay for you to say, you know what? I don't like my accommodations over here. I'm going to change my accommodations. Rav Amar Ad Haka. So Rav says, well, when you get hit, which seems to mean when you get physically abused, at that point in time, you can say, I no longer like it over here. I will now move my residence. Now, Ushmul Amar Achi Yavshilu Lo Kelav La'achol Rav. Right? When he takes your bags and say, here, and, you know, I'll give you a modern-day reference, he throws your bags out into the street. Okay, at that point in time now, you could say, perhaps, right, perhaps this is not going to be where I'm staying. Now, the Gemara says, look, if you're the one getting hit over here, so then, at that point in time, there's no debate. Meaning, you can now at that point in time say, this is not the place I'm going to be staying anymore. Wait. You're gonna. The Gemara coming up is gonna be rather amazing. And if all they did was just throw your bags out, so that's all. Okay, that's all. There's also no debate over there. Keep pligi b'hakad v'vasayhu. So the Gemara says, when is there any debate whatsoever? So when they hit your wife. Now stay with me for just a moment. Okay, now stay with me for just a moment. Now, Marsavar Kevin Dedelo Mitzar Le My Nafkele Mina. The Gemara is the way I'm about to present the Gemara. The Gemara is going to sound a little bit callous, just a tad. Yeah. It's all about how you present it. Now the one who says that it's not time to leave yet says the Gemara because, well, he didn't hit me. It's just my wife. Okay. And my nafka lemina. Like, in other words, it doesn't have any practical applications to me. I'm telling you, that is some woman who, you know, oh, it's okay, honey. It's not you. Apparently. Okay, and I know the bell just rang, but Omar Savar Asili Itrude Vichoka. I'm sorry, Asili Itrude. Meaning, look, if he eats your wife, you know, it's not good. It's going to lead to a fight and a quarrel, and it is time to leave. Now, the way I presented the Gemara is really the way Rashi presented the Gemara, that if he hits your wife, there's an opinion out there that says it's not time to leave. Now, I will say this. That's Rashi. It is difficult, right? Even I, who am not the most sensitive person in the world, it is difficult to really understand the Gemara that if you're staying somewhere and they hit your wife, it's not the food's good, you know. You know, they pump the air conditioner. It's like it's not. It's hard. It's hard. Right. Right. And right. Right. It's hard. It's so hard to understand. I saw beautiful. Yeah. I saw this Marsha. The Marsha says that's not the Pshat in the Gemara, even though Rashi says it. To be fair, but then he says that's not the Pshat in the Gemara. The Pshat in the Gemara is he didn't hit your wife. He hit his own wife. Ah, that now you understand. Meaning, if you see that kind of behavior, so meaning, one opinion is okay. You know, obviously. By the way, that would be a perfect time for tochacha, right? That would be a perfect opportunity. But at least at that point in time, you now say, okay, right? I may not necessarily have to leave. On the other hand, if he's the kind of guy who's hitting his own wife, he's the kind of guy who, you know, right. In other words, not the kind of place I want to stay. Now the Gemara says, now why? Meaning, let's just finish up with this. Why? Why is it that you should really stick it out until the point of getting hit? Why is it that you really should stick it out? The Gemara says, pogim v'nifkam. Interesting. Pogim v'nifkam, Rashi explains that what happens is if people see that you're the kind of guy who can't stick out a relationship, meaning you go to one place, no, I'm going to move. You go to another place, I'm going to move. So both the host and the guest are going to end up being the kinds of people who are basically going to have
give a bad name to both,
the host and the guest. Okay, and so therefore, right, you're staying by somebody, even if it's not the most comfortable environment, you should stick it out. Okay, interesting Gemara. Okay, well, we'll have to pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. Okay, the learning we do this morning should be Le'ilui Nishmas Shakri Shlomo Ben Mashallah. Hashem should have a continued aliyah. Rechanan Yemenekah Shomar Rotzak Shbarach Lezak Yisrael. Fiyach Achir Ben Torah Mitzvah Shana Marnecha Veitamantik Ho Yagdotar Avi Yadir.